Okay, good morning. How are y'all doing? Hi. I'm sorry, I took a few extra minutes. My computer has been giving me difficulty for the last couple of weeks. I've wanted to throw it out the window a few times, so sorry. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about Advent. The kind of hope of this forum is to kind of draw us into the season a little bit. And I wanted to just kind of start things off with a refresher as far as what is Advent and what is the point of Advent. So this is a season of preparation. 4 weeks before Christmas, you all notice that the altar hangings and stuff in church has all changed to that lovely purple color, so we are in a new season. We're singing different music, and we are focusing on different scripture lessons. And in this season, we focus on the coming of Christ into the world, right? So the word Advent really literally means coming, coming of Jesus Christ. And traditionally, what would have happened in the church is this would be a season of penitence, a season of confession and of getting in touch with where we have gotten off track. And we would fast. We would do a season of fasting similar to Lent. It's sort of a mini Lent. And then we would feast on Christmas Day, the same way that you feast in Easter. So I was at a meeting recently in Raleigh amongst a bunch of clergy folks. And we were asked a question kind of as an icebreaker. I thought I'd bring it up here. What we were all doing, the people gathered there, what we were doing to prepare for Christmas. What was our season of preparation in Advent really looking like? So I would invite you to volunteer an answer to that question. What are you doing to prepare in Advent? You're watching your wife wrap gifts, wrapping presents. Very good. That's definitely some watching and waiting. Yeah, Jocelyn. Right. Yeah. Or even before sometimes,
and
yeah.
It's all very good.
Oh, goodness. Hope I can remember what I just said.
Well, you were talking about how everything used to be kind of this season of, preparation, and you wouldn't, decorate until Christmas or Christmas Eve. And then now?
Well, now it's just changed so much that they start doing things even at Halloween and Thanksgiving, and it takes away that peaceful, beautiful entry, and it's very hard to maintain that for all of us. And other churches have already decorated for Christmas their altars, their wreaths and all that. So I love what the Episcopal Church does, and I think a lot of people don't understand it who aren't in that tradition.
Sure. Yeah. Very good point. Yes. Right. Moravians have a very specific celebration of Advent. John has a microphone for anyone that wants to volunteer. What are you doing to prepare in Advent? It could be the most, random things. Don't overthink it. What are you doing to prepare?
This is sort of random, but I'm missing my Advent wreath because we didn't make them at church, and I'm kind of last minute, so I haven't gotten around to it yet. I was going to do it this afternoon and go around and get greenery, but the candles for that actually really help, I think.
So lighting candles, right? Susan?
I received an email that said, here is a Susan Watts has sent you a Victorian Advent calendar. And I thought, this is the corniest thing. I don't have time to be clicking on the computer. I had too many emails. And so I did access it. And it's somebody who's a devout Episcopalian, and I knew there was something in it. And I accessed it yesterday, and I listened to the December 2nd, and this choir was singing Adeste Fidelis. I listened to all the verses and sang them. And
nice.
Then singing in a friend's home, mm-hmm. starting with the hymns, and it just made me stop thinking about what I have to mail and do to just do that.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen one of these, look for them.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really neat.
It's gorgeous. Jackie Lawson Advent.
One other comment about what are you doing to prepare for Advent? I've had a lot of friends say they've been decorating their homes. They've been shopping. What have you been doing?
Well, I think we've been focused so much on Christmas that we don't stop to think about Advent too much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've already put up our Christmas tree at the house, but it's a welcome change when we hear the prayers and the hymns at church.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, and our singing is very specific to Advent. There are other churches that are already singing Christmas carols, and we are singing Advent hymns. And that's all of those songs are all about waiting and looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, right?
I was just going to state, I thought those Advent were Christmas carols, a few of them. When you hear O Come Emmanuel.
Yeah, O Come Emmanuel.
With Christmas.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's nice to get the early start with those because it gets you in the season a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I have, what's that? And Advent devotionals, exactly. Yeah, all of these are really good ways that we have been preparing. A lot of people prepare by getting their homes ready, by cleaning, because they know they're going to be seeing family in town or they're going to be, hosting parties. We also do quite a bit with our schedules. Whose schedule here has suddenly shifted in Advent? Do you have more things going on suddenly? Yeah. Our schedule sort of, we make room for spending time with people. And I don't want to kind of point fingers and be like, oh, we should just, slow down and, be, prayerful and spiritual. I think, opening up our schedules to provide space for other people is a really wonderful Advent preparation. What happens to our bodies? Does anybody experience Advent in a specific way in your body? Do you, when you find yourself, let's say, preparing to clean your house for everyone to come over, does your body feel good or does it feel tired? Tired. You are standing in line at Target trying to check out all of this, Christmas presents, Christmas decorations. How does your body feel standing in line at Target? Anxious, frustrated, stressed, right? Worried. Okay, I want us to focus a little bit on what happens to the human body in Advent, because I think that there's a very interesting spiritual teaching about what happens in the body in Advent. And not just in Advent, but what the body teaches us about God, what our bodies do to teach us something about God. I would like to also add, there are many methods of kind of managing all of these things and keeping up with yourself. Elizabeth, you mentioned devotionals. Some people journal, some people, have all of these different things that you read, things that you pray. I make lists. Does anybody here make lists? I'm kind of an obsessive list maker. And it has become a form of journaling for me in making my own lists of all the things I need to do, all the things I need to buy, and that sort of thing. And those lists tend to bring out some sense of centeredness sometimes and some anxiety in other times. My personality type tends toward anxiety, so sometimes I will write out a list on my legal pad that I have everywhere with me and just go, oh, there's too much to do. There's so much that I need to get, and there's so much that I need to schedule and manage. And that affects my body. That is definitely something that I notice about this season. I want to kind of go with that idea for a second, and I want to bring up this little clip from Barbara Brown Taylor. Like I said, my computer has been giving me grief, so we're gonna like cross our fingers and, oh, that's the wrong one. Come on, computer, you can do it. It is not. It is. It is a very interesting video. That one I want to get to in a second, but, and my computer is frozen up again. No, it's okay. It's not a projector thing. It's there. My computer has had a virus for the last week or two. You know what? Let's just we'll get back to the video in a second. So, in the video I would have shown you, Barbara Brown Taylor is this wonderful speaker and teacher, and she's an Episcopal priest down in Georgia. Pretty much everyone has heard of Barbara Brown Taylor. She's been around a long time. If you haven't, there are really great books that you can read that she has written. That's kind of her, it's become her spiritual ministry of writing books. And in this video that I have, she really focuses a little bit kind of theologically talking about the body. You know, what happens to our bodies throughout our lives? What does pain teach us? What does pleasure teach us? And those two experiences within our bodies are an important part of what we mean when we talk about incarnation, when we talk about Jesus coming among us. And she makes a couple of points in the video that I want to highlight. She says that you don't get a soul that's not embodied. Your soul has fingerprints all over it. And I love that quote, and it reminds me, Darby mentioned in her sermon this morning that we were all at a breakfast this past week with the Reverend Greg Boyle, who is a minister, a Catholic priest out in LA. And he works with people who have been recently incarcerated. And his ministry with people who have just come out of prison, the core of it is he tells them, you are exactly what God had in mind when God created you. Who you are right now, all your mess and all of your scars and everything that you see that's wrong with you, that is exactly what God had in mind. That brokenness has a gift to give to the world and a beauty. You have beauty in yourself. And so I want to highlight that as in thinking about our bodies and thinking about the ways that we live our lives in the world. We are complicated people, and we have lots of things that happen to us. And it's a teaching, I think. Let me zoom to this other one. It's an important teaching in thinking about God's body, which is what we mean when we say incarnation, that the incarnation that happens in Christmas is Jesus taking on a human body. That's what incarnation means. And so by doing that, when God did that, that made holy all bodies. That made holy human flesh. And so your body was meant to be holy. This is the first teaching of Advent. This is the most important thing for us to grasp in our spiritual preparation, is to get in touch with what happens in our bodies, who we are, how our bodies are shaped, and how our lives shape them, and recognizing that this body matters to God. In that video I was going to show you, Barbara Brown Taylor says, and so the logical conclusion to that is God cares about your nostrils. And which is just so striking for her to say, God cares about all of this. God cares about when I get sick. God cares about when I face limitation, when I feel stress. And maybe God is trying to teach me something about my body through what happens to Jesus's body. Well, apparently the video just started. There she is. But it's not linked to the...
...years now, and the resurrection of the
Do we? The sound is not. Yeah, it's not linked up to the speakers. Y'all are being so patient. Thank you. volume's right here. It's not linked to the speakers. That's okay.
At some level beyond any literal understanding is that matter matters to God. Matter. I've been bathing in scripture for 40 years now, and the resurrection of the body is different from the immortality of the soul. So whatever in the world that's about, it's embedded in both testaments of the Bible that I've been spending time with. And it tells me at some level beyond any literal understanding is that matter matters to God. Matter matters to God. It's what the sacraments teach. Bread and wine and water and oil and hands matter to God. And that somehow, if that's not what the affirmation of the resurrection of the body is about, I don't know what else it is, but that God cares about your nostrils. Then you can get into all the, you know, medieval scholastic questions of if we are resurrected in the flesh, at what age? You know, if you're resurrected and you've had an amputation, do you get it back? And those are impossible. Those are impossible questions. But I'm shaped Hebrew enough. I got some Greek shaping too, but Hebrew enough to think that you don't get a soul that's not embodied. You might get the spirit that's not embodied, but spirit might be that breath that moves through you in and out, gone, but our souls have got fingerprints all over them. Insofar as I have any illusion that I'm in control of my life, there's quite a few things that happened to me in my body that proved to me I am not. I am, in fact, not in control of my life. So the body, what I mean immediately is I think pain can get your ego handled pretty fast. But so can pleasure. I mean, I think there's also a huge, what did I do to deserve this, that we always say about pain, but it's also true pleasure. What did I do to deserve to get to live where I live? You know, and look out every night at the sky full of stars. What did I do to deserve that? Nothing. So there's quite a bit that happens in the body that I think when all else fails, when the prophetic word and the incarnate witness and all the rest fails, there's just, I think this sort of, the body makes theologians of us all. Why me? Why like this? Why here? Why this long? You know, whether it's making love or giving birth or hurting or eating, it just seems to me, again, that in the scripture I read, those are the stories we remember and tell, are the ones that speak to our flesh. I don't know how you speak to a spirit exactly, strictly to a spirit. I just can't imagine. It's like talking to a brain in a jar. Hello, brain. So that's what I think about that.
Okay, I'm glad that eventually worked. and yeah, thanks for y'all's patience on this. I will throw this computer out the window before the end of the week, probably. Pray for me. Okay. So I already said kind of everything about, like, her point about you don't get a soul that's not embodied. And so God cares about your nostrils. God cares about what happens to you. And I am really intrigued by that phrase she had at the end where she said, the body makes theologians of us all. And I have been having, this is generally how God will speak to me in my own kind of walk with him, that I have a series of events happen to me where I get a sense of, pay attention to this, pay attention to this. And it's just a kind of a series of experiences. And, you know, I have a friend right now who is pregnant, and she is trying to sort of sort out what pregnancy really is for her. And it's surprising. And if you've ever been pregnant, this is, I think, something that happens to a lot of women, that it's not really what you thought it was going to be. It's uncomfortable, and it's painful, and it you start getting a sense that, like, there's something growing in here that has a mind of its own, and it's going to wake me up in the middle of the night. It's going to press on these organs, and her body is teaching her something about God creating a new thing, right? Like, there's a spiritual connection there. And then I had this conversation with her, and then I went on Friday to go do hospital visiting, and I was just walking in. You know, Baptist has that crazy series of parking garages, and it's so easy to get lost in that hospital. And I ran into two strangers from the garage, and we kind of were walking together toward the cancer center, and they didn't really know where they were going, and I kind of did, so I ended up kind of pointing them the right way and struck up a conversation with them. And I think I said something like, you know, are you here to see a family member? And the man said, yeah, my dad's here, and they think he's got liver cancer, and we don't know what's going to happen. And there was just sort of this immediate tenderness in that, you know, moment, talking to me, a total stranger. And I told him I would pray for him, and I thought about what it must be like to be in the hospital right now and to be contending with some organ in your body that's doing something you don't understand. And you look at your skin turning yellow, and it's indicating that you may have a sickness that's bigger than you and bigger than maybe the doctors can figure out. And, you know, so all of these teachings, you know, kind of the body, that sometimes pain teaches us something about God. Sometimes pleasure teaches us something about God. And these are lessons in Advent. This is what we're focusing on in our scripture lessons, in what's happening with Mary's body. And in some seasons, we'll also talk a little bit about Elizabeth, her friend, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, and these two women coming together and reconciling what is going on in our bodies, that God is doing a new thing. And so I invite that as kind of a meditation for you all, as a something to pray on. Whatever might be happening with your body, with your stress, or even, you know, your pleasure. I had a friend of mine tell me the story about decorating her house for Christmas and putting up every single string of Christmas lights that she could find. She said that she and her family have had this just really devastating loss of a year. It's just been a really hard year for her. And she felt so drawn to putting up as much light in her house as she could. And she describes shutting off all the regular lights and sitting in her living room, and everything lit up on the tree, on the garlands that were up in the sides of the walls and along the edges of the outside of the house. And she took off her glasses and just let all that light kind of blur. And this just sort of the pleasure of seeing light coming back into her life. These are things that God teaches us, and, you know, inherently that matter matters to God. And this is the ultimate teaching, what I said a second ago, is in incarnation, that big, you know, $10 word that we throw around that we don't always define, which means that God has become flesh. And by doing so, God has sanctified all flesh. We have been given a holy charge, that your bodies have been made to be holy. We don't always do a very good job at that, right? Like, we are not God incarnate. We are not Jesus Christ in our bodies. We are sinful creatures who get off track. And we have some work to do when we get a little disconnected from that fact that you are called to be holy in your body. We do any number of things in being sinful. We will indulge. We will overeat or overdrink. We will get stressed. We'll get distracted. And when we get disconnected from our bodies, we even get to the point of disassociating from other bodies, from treating it, you know, becomes treating other people very carelessly, right? That's sort of, it all stems away from getting disconnected from our call to be holy creatures. And so in thinking a little bit also about what the Bible teaches us in Advent, that these crazy scripture lessons that we have, right now all of the clergy are preaching on the Psalms, but we are also praying and noticing other readings. Right now there's the reading from the book of Isaiah. If you were at the 9 o'clock, you didn't hear it, it'll be at the 11:15. This story about a shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse, right? And a lot of these prophets are warning the people. They're speaking of the amazing things that will happen with the coming of God, but they're also a warning and saying, it's time to repent, guys. And I don't know if you noticed, in the gospel lesson this morning, we heard Matthew and John the Baptist telling us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He is not nice about this. He calls everybody a brood of vipers, and he is really connecting to, you got to wake up to the fact that you have gotten off track, that sort of your sinful nature, your disconnect from the holiness in your body has come to affect the whole world. And so repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That is why Advent has a penitential tone. It's not Lent, it's not the same thing, but it does have this kind of penitential tone. So we confess our sins in order to get ready to receive God. And at this point, I have another fabulous video that I'm going to try to play, and we're all going to say, like, Dixon, we need to like lay hands on my laptop if that's something we could do. Lord Jesus, come and affect this crazy machine. Yeah. It totally is. Where's John the Baptist? Well, how I feel in my body right now is like very sweaty and nervous. Why aren't you working? Okay, so this... let's see. Let me pull it up. So this video is from, it's very short. We definitely have time to listen to it. This is from Nadia Boltz-Weber, who is a Lutheran pastor, and she serves in Colorado. But... who here has heard of Nadia Boltz-Weber? A few people. I brought her up when I was teaching last spring, she's kind of like Barbara Ann Taylor, is just sort of this like prolific writer and speaker, and she's just really provocative and awesome. And she's pretty edgy. If you've read any of her stuff, she's kind of snarky and kind of free with profanity. She doesn't use any profanity in this video, but a couple people from my class last spring started reading one of her books, and they were like, she's so great, but she uses a lot of the F word. So just a caveat, if you wanted to start reading her, she does have some edginess to her. I don't know if it's going to work. We need a teenager. Well.
I wish I was.
That's right. Thinking about it. So in this short video, she's meditating a little bit on the fact that our scripture lessons that we have in church right now are a little wild. These are prophets and people who are speaking to get our attention, to get us to kind of wake up. And they even say, wake up and don't sleep, don't fall asleep, that it's very easy to miss this and to miss not just the coming of Jesus in Christmas, but the preparation that we need to do to prepare for that coming of Jesus. And I might just give up on the video. So she says in the video, no way. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah. Open things up. Yeah, so, you know, if you use the lectionary, the first two or three Sundays of Advent, you're not getting shepherds and angels and the baby Jesus, right? You're getting like these crazy apocalyptic texts, including the one that says that like two will be in the field and one will be taken and one will stay, and that, you know, Jesus will come like a thief in the night. And there's something about seeing Jesus as a holy thief, you know. In our first Advent together, I started thinking about, you know, maybe the idea of God breaking in and jacking our stuff doesn't need to be heard as like bad news. Like maybe instead of making a Christmas list, which is stuff that like we want Santa to bring us to our house, we make Advent lists in the church, which are stuff that we would really love for Jesus to abscond with in the middle of the night. Like if Jesus...
Abscond, what is that? That is an awesome word. Yeah. Public school,
so could take off with, right? Could steal. So if Jesus could come and like take, I don't know, like my body image issues or my love of self or my obsession with trying to be worthy or any of these things. Maybe, you know, the fact that I have probably 10 pairs of shoes too many, right? There's so much stuff that's weighing us down that we actually need a holy thief to come and steal from us. And I try to meditate on that in Advent. Like, help me get rid of this stuff, man. Just help me get rid of it. So come as a thief in the night, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That's Advent, you know.
That's right. Thanks for your patience on that with the machine. But I just love so much this meditation. So she is thinking a little bit about a passage of scripture that is going to come up in year B. We're in year A right now, and so we won't hear this lesson this year, but I thought it was just a wonderful kind of meditation on, you know, thinking about the metaphor of Jesus coming as a thief in the night, and what could God, you know, take away from us. I mentioned a little while ago that I, you know, my Advent practice is making lists, like I'm just obsessively making these lists to kind of get ready for the season. And so I wondered, for your practice, if you were going to have a spiritual practice in this Lent that would kind of help you connect with your body and with your life and your own kind of journey, whatever's going on with you, what would you like for God to take away from you? What if God is the holy thief that comes in the night? What would be something that you would want God to take? And could it be maybe a spiritual practice for us all to make an Advent list instead of making a Christmas list? To sit down and to write down all the things that we would love for God to help us shed. And it may be, you know, that you have that, you know, 10 pairs of shoes too many, and it's actual literal stuff. How do I get rid of my stuff? But also go deeper than that. Think a little bit about what it is, you know, that I'm carrying around that I don't need anymore, a defense mechanism or a particular sin or a failure. Whatever it is that you need help in shedding, make that your Advent list, your Advent prayer to God, that you might be able to trust that God has the power to change you and to change what's happening in your life. And to also notice, you know, like I said earlier with the Barbara Brown Taylor video, what's happening in your body? What is happening to your body, or maybe the body of someone that you love, someone who is sick, or maybe someone who is experiencing joy? What is it about those sensations that God teaches you something about God's self and the kingdom of heaven? Those are important Advent questions to consider. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm so sorry my laptop is a jerk, and y'all are awesome, and I'll see y'all soon. Thank you.